Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Senior Assassin, you knew it was only a matter of time before somebody was going to get hurt in this game and it was going to be in the news again.
Somebody was bound to get in trouble.
All right, this is sad. Okay, so if you're unfamiliar with this, it's what the seniors are doing, and it's across the country in high schools everywhere, is that they play this game. They all have water guns, and they get assigned a person, and you have to shoot the person with the water gun, and they're out of the game. Essentially, there's one winner left, one team left, and they win. Some people have money. Sometimes it's just for the glory, whatever.
I mean, it's a hit list, basically.
Yeah.
It's a Deadpool.
Right, but it's done with water guns, and it's meant to be fun. And a lot of the police departments have also realized that this is just a fun thing that seniors do before graduation, and they warn the kids, make sure that it obviously looks like a water gun. Don't do it in dark places. Don't go on strangers trespassing and all that kind of thing.
I mean, these are all the best places to hide out, Anna. You know, sooner or later when you're running around, too, and you're not paying attention to what's in front of you, something could happen.
But this 17-year-old boy, he jumped in the back of a Jeep, began to pull out of a driveway to take out one of his opponents.
Yeah.
And he fell off the car, and he has a head injury. And, you know, obviously we're hoping the best for him as he recovers. But I was thinking about it. Because Hayden, my 16-year-old, texted me yesterday, and she was all upset. So she does this with her theater group, her high school theater group.
Yeah.
But they don't use water guns. They use spoons. They call it spoons.
Okay.
So what they do, it's the same premise. You're assigned a person. You have to get that person out.
How do you get them out?
Everybody,
you throw a spoon at them?
You can't throw a spoon. You have to tap them with the spoon when they're not looking.
Okay.
On a shoulder. So they go up to each other, and if you get tapped with the spoon, you give up your spoon. And then essentially it's whoever has all the spoons is the winner.
Yeah.
And I was kind of at the first, when she first told me freshman year that they were doing this, she's a sophomore now, finishing her sophomore year. I was like, well, that's silly. But now I'm like, so much better than the water guns.
Yeah. So at first you thought it was lame, but right. Now you're like, silverware certainly seems safer as a safer way to solve these things. Early on, you were like, this is terrible. And where are you going to keep all these spoons? But now you're like, you know what? You go, kids. Good job.
Right. Congratulations. Collect all the spoons. Although she is devastated that she didn't get anybody out when she got out on the first day. She's like, how am I going to go to school tomorrow? I'm like, you're going to put your backpack on your back and you're going to go like you go every other day. It's going to be fine.
I'm not going to lie. That's a little bit embarrassing.
Has anyone ever offered you a $400 million private jet as just a gift? Just a goodwill gift? I would. What? Yes, please. Thank you. That's so nice of you.
I will take it.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the photos, but I hear this thing is like a flying palace.
It's wild looking. It looks different and cool. You know, like all jets kind of look the same big. This one looks sleeker. I don't know. Federal law requires executive branch officials to disclose any gift from a foreign government valued at $480 or more. Needless to say,
this qualifies.
This private jet that has been offered to President Trump from the Qatari government that's worth $400 million definitely had to be disclosed.
Yeah, we're going to have to sign a couple forms or whatever, right?
Yeah. You know. So what I didn't know is that presidents are allowed to keep the gifts afterwards, but they have to be displayed at a presidential library. They can't keep them for personal use, which is why he keeps saying that after his presidency, it'll go to the Trump library, because I didn't understand.
Park it in the parking lot?
Yeah.
That seems like a bad use of space at that point. Like, if you take it on trip from library to library, I guess.
I don't know.
If I'm keeping it, I want to keep it.
Well, I was looking at, you know, and you hear this and you're like, oh my gosh, what an extravagant gift. And I was looking at the other gifts that have been given from foreign countries to our presidents.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
So
I mean, they just had that guy, that senator who got busted with all those gold bars, Menendez or whatever. So, I mean, if he's getting gold bars, I would imagine that presidents were doing all right.
They get weird stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Countries think we want weird things. Like Abraham Lincoln in 1862 was offered a herd of elephants from the King of Siam.
Oh.
He said no, he didn't want it.
Oh, come on, man. Elephants are, you know.
Where do you put a herd of elephants at the White House? What, like, they didn't even think about that? They're like, where's this dude going to put this herd of elephants?
I guess that is a fair question there. It's imagine, though. And then you have a storm, a couple elephants get out loose. All of a sudden, we've got regular elephants just wander the countryside here in America. We could have changed everything.
Founding father and diplomat Benjamin Franklin, he came under fire because he accepted a diamond snuff box from King Louis XVI.
I mean, that is a little bit bougie.
I didn't even know what Liberace. I had to tell you, I had to Google what a snuff box was.
It's like Al Pacino. It's like where you would put in something that you would smoke or like.
Yeah, your tobacco. It's like if you put your tobacco in there in the old days, I guess.
He put his hemp in there. Wow, Benjamin Franklin.
Richard Nixon accepted a gift of two giant pandas from China.
I mean, that's just normal, right? Like, I mean, you go to hang out in China, you got to expect that they're going to give you some sort of animal, some sort of beast.
Ling Ling and Sing Sing were given to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., where they lived out their lives.
Okay.
I mean, I'm into us getting pandas.
Yeah.
That was all right. I mean, then you could argue, why didn't we take the herd of elephants?
Right.
We would have taken that, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. President George W. Bush received 300 pounds of raw lamb in 2003. From Argentina's president.
I mean, that's going to be a great barbecue.
Right. Right in the backyard.
He's like, I know you're from Texas. I know you guys like brisket. Try this lamb. You're really going to enjoy this.
He also got a Komodo dragon from the president of Indonesia.
That's weird. That's weird. Yeah. And don't let that sucker just wander around, all right? If they bite you, that's not good.
What's the strangest or the most extravagant gift that you ever received, Raven?
I don't know about extravagant. I would say this is like any gift from somebody that it's not appropriate for them to give you a gift is weird. So I had somebody that worked with me and they started as kind of a listener, but then ended up as like an intern. And then they gifted me a bunch of like sports memorabilia and it was expensive, like autographed, like certified and numbered stuff. And here's the thing. I don't collect any of that. Like, that's not something that I do. I would certainly never spend the money on that. So it all just struck me as awkward and even more awkward when I had to let them go months later.
You know, it's going to be really strange.
Yeah.
When you put it up in your presidential library.
Oh, my
gosh. That's where it's got to go.
But if it's going to be in the parking lot in the jet, though. Yeah. So that's different. Right. That's different.
Yesterday, Kim Kardashian got her day in court. I think she lied. If I said this, I know I'd be lying.
You think she lied?
Yeah. Not about what happened. What happened was absolutely horrific. Mm-hmm. About this one other thing that the media is claiming that she said on the stand. I don't know. Trending is powered by 5-Hour Energy. 5-Hour Energy, did you know that 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24 pack. Check it out today, 5hourenergy.com. So yesterday, she finally got her day in court. She was able to testify in Paris against the 10 men known as the Grandpa Robbers.
Yeah.
They call these guys the Grandpa Robbers because they're in their 60s and 70s.
They're all dudes.
Now, if you forgot what happened, it had to be almost a decade ago, 8 or 9 years ago. And she was in Paris. She was by herself in her hotel room. Mm-hmm. These 10 guys dressed as police officers busted in and they...
Tied her up,
put her in the bathtub. She thought all these terrible things were going to happen to her. She did not think she was going to survive. They stole her jewelry, mm-hmm. and then they left.
She was in town for something, some event or something like that. And she had an enormous amount of jewelry with her.
Kanye had just, they were still married at the time and had just got her this $4 million ring. So they were after the ring, which I believe they got.
And they had been posting about all this stuff on social media. I remember she changed a lot of that behavior after. But again, terrifying circumstances, tied up, you know, you're at gunpoint in this situation. No idea.
So she shows up to court yesterday and she's wearing $7 million worth of jewelry. Now,
giving them something to look at.
So her lawyer was asked, she's wearing all this jewelry. Is this as like a stick it to them?
Yeah.
This is what he said.
Kim is Kim. It's hard to cover a subject like this and talk about it in public before everybody. So I thought she did very well. What they did to her was violent. It was terrible. And it changed the arc of her life.
So basically, he just said, Kim is Kim.
Kim is Kim. She's rich.
She's going to do what she wants.
She's rich. She looked good.
And matched her outfit.
She wants to put this stuff on. She's going to put it on. I'm not going to tell her not to do it.
And then they asked him the most logical question next.
Why did it take 8.5, 9 years to get to this?
I think it's a very good question. As an American lawyer, I don't have the foggiest idea.
Yeah, like what took so long?
I mean, it always takes a long time, though. It takes 3, 4, 5 years for major cases to go to trial, even here in America. So
9 years? I blame that on the
Seems
French.
Like a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
But she said...
Dang it, French!
One of these guys, the grandpa robbers...
Yeah.
...wrote her a letter asking for her forgiveness.
Yeah, he apologized.
And she said that she has forgiven them. No, you didn't. Listen, I have this thing, you forgive, but you never forget.
Yeah.
There's no world where this happens to me or anybody I love. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, all right. You're good with me.
I mean.
That guy's never going to go over her house and swim in the pool.
Well,
never.
That's absolutely true, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be friends. But I mean, I don't think she needs to carry around that anger
no,
for him.
No, she does. I mean,
after 9 years?
100%. There's no world where you forgive those guys for what they did to you. You can say it all you want and try to convince yourself and do, you know, the holy thing and try to forgive. I get it. But no. You want those people to burn.
The only... Wow.
I do.
Anna Zapp. I mean, let's pull that back here. I would just say I watch a lot of these shows, right? And listen, there's a lot of the nuances. And when you're being held or anything like that, I think that there is an opportunity, even though you're in a terrible situation, for some people to show you little inklings of kindness, right? And if she thought she was going to lose her life and somebody said the right thing to her or told her she was going to be okay in those circumstances or whatever, just do this and this will be okay. It's hard to understand that.
Let me go on record.
I heard your record. I don't think you need to repeat it.
If anything like that ever should happen, I can lie to you and say, no, I forgive you. I don't.
Right.
Deep in my heart.
Strike a match, says Anna Zapp.
Yeah,
okay, thank you.
You just spent the last 34 years in jail. You never thought you would get out. The chances were so slim. And all of a sudden, because of a Netflix documentary, that's about to change.
Oh, yeah. We getting sprung, yo.
So the story is wild. So the Menendez brothers are definitely going to get out of jail. But the big question is when? Here's their attorney from yesterday.
Ever thought 2 years later we'd be standing here after 35 years with this wonderful family who I've grown to love like my own family. And now we see the pot at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, or their freedom.
Yeah, so they...
If you've had all this time to work on a statement, let's make it make a little bit more sense.
I mean,
just going to put that out there.
Raven, he rambled on for 23 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no,
right?
there's a lot more.
Oh, yeah, let's be a little bit more concise and be like, great day, we're excited, wow, here we are.
Even he's surprised.
Right, he's flabbergasted.
He's shocked.
Would be a word.
Now, if you forgot what happened, Eric and Lyle Menendez are brothers. They're 19 and 21 years old at the time when this happened. They shot and killed their parents. Mm-hmm. People say they did it because they wanted to inherit the millions of dollars. They hated their parents.
Well, that was the prosecution's case, was that?
Right.
Yeah, they were jealous and they wanted to control that empire, yes.
But as we've learned from the Netflix documentary that came out, is that they suffered a lot of abuse from their parents, especially their father, sexual abuse over the years.
There was certainly a lot of evidence that said that as well, right? Including the testimony of several different family members and whatnot, so...
So,
it's pretty wild. They hated the documentary when it came out. You remember that?
Yeah, they weren't happy about it.
They didn't like to be portrayed that way.
And now it might be the thing that got them out of jail because it reopened everything and reopened everybody's eyes.
Her and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
A judge in L.A. has reduced their sentence to 50 years. Here's the attorney again.
He struck the special circumstance and he sentenced them to 50 to life, which means they're immediately eligible.
Right, because they've already served more than two-thirds of that 50-year sentence.
And the thought process is that the parole board will, you know, release them at this point. So here's another wild part of the story is this DA didn't want to let them out. So the last DA was like, yeah, let's let them out. And then the new DA just got elected, and the new DA was like, no deal.
It's so weird.
This is wild,
okay,
right?
Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay. All this happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens rather quickly, within 2 years, when you never thought you were going to be let out again.
Sure.
And if you look at their record, and they've done a lot of good stuff in jail. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do when you get out?
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
34 years.
As somebody who's done more than an overnight themselves in a jail, you're going to shower. That is the first thing you're going to do is you want to get home. You want to get to a place where you're safe. Wait. You want to shower, and you want to put on your own clothes.
Okay, but here's what I was thinking. Because the first thing I thought, I was like, well, I want to go to my bed. Do they have a house?
No.
Do they have a bed?
Yeah.
Do they have a place to go?
They're going to their attorney's place, right, at this point.
I think they've got aunts and uncles that'll take them in.
They don't want to go there. They're going to go to a hotel.
They're going to get a shower. They're going to get a burger and a beer. And then they're going to Las Vegas, which is the sensible thing to do.
That's where you think they're going? I feel like that's the last place they should go.
They should
go to a desert. They should go sit in a desert.
See, that's that other thought process is like you get on a plane and you get out of the country. And you're like, I'm not going back because just in case they change their mind. When you do that kind of time and you get out, every footsteps you hear walking down the hallway, every time your doorbell rings or anything like that, you think that they're coming back for you.
So that's why you think they should go to Vegas.
Go.
That's where you start over? You start over in Vegas?
If I can survive the weekend in Vegas, I'm going to be free wherever I'm going from here.
Okay. Did you ever get a gift that you weren't sure you should return? I got one of those for Mother's Day.
Is it something extravagant or is it because like it came from somebody inappropriate or what?
Well, everybody is arguing about whether President Trump should keep that $400 million private jet from the Qatari royal family.
I'm keeping it.
I'm trying to figure out if I should keep $11 of tooth fairy money.
Wait a minute. What?
All right. So my two daughters put a lot of thought into my gifts this past Sunday for Mother's Day, Raven.
Yeah.
My 16-year-old went to TJ Maxx the day before, so on Saturday, and there was no Mother's Day gifts left.
There was nothing.
There was nothing.
Just a few mugs.
She explained to me that there was a lot of Father's Day and graduation gifts.
Yeah.
So she bought me a gift set, the places you'll go, which included a keychain, a pair of socks, and a mug, like from the Dr. Seuss, which is clearly a graduation gift. That is a graduation gift.
Okay.
I'm happy. I liked it.
All right.
I love that book. I live my life by that book, the places you'll go.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, so, Hayden. Thanks for all that.
Where's that keychain, by the way? I'm looking. I don't see it.
It's
somewhere safe.
Yep.
Yep, of course. Right. Yeah.
But then my little one, my six-year-old, first, you know, they do the thing at school where they make you stuff, right?
Of course, right. Your macaroni necklace, you know, your little, you know, turkey made out of their handprint, anything like that.
Right, exactly. And there was a lot of that all week long. But then I got a homemade card. And the cool part about this, and welcome to 2025, is that when you opened it, there was a QR code. There's a QR code in the handmade card. And when I whip out my phone and I'm like, a QR code? I had never seen anything like it before.
Did she draw it in or it's like, you know, stuck on there?
No, it's stuck on there. Okay. It's a glued QR code. And I clicked on it and on my phone, it brought me to this video where it's her saying,
my mom loves dogs, the beach, reading, pizza, and sleeping. Happy Mother's Day.
I mean, clearly you can hear all the noise of a first grade classroom in the back.
Yeah, it's chaos. Says,
it's basically, you know how they fill out those forms like all about your mom?
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, my mom loves dogs. I do. The beach. Absolutely. Reading. I think she thinks I love reading so much because I'm constantly talking to her about how important it is to read.
Yeah.
Pizza.
You've been striving to do more reading.
Yeah. And sleeping. Yep, that's me. I love to sleep constantly whenever I can.
So was it a video or just that audio clip or what? I mean, either way, it's very cute.
Yeah, it was very cute. But that's not the problem. Okay. All those gifts were fine. But then she gave me, wrapped up in all her construction paper, $11. A $2 bill. And nine singles.
Wait a minute.
And
she gave you her money. She gave you her money.
She gave me all her tooth fairy money, minus the $20 bill that she got for the first tooth.
She's holding on to that
one. That one she's going to keep.
That one's crisp. She's keeping that. She knows it's a big deal. But mom, I want you to, you know, enjoy the rest of this money.
So she gave me $11 in tooth fairy money. Yeah. And I said, you don't have to give mommy your money.
Yeah, mommy has money.
She's like, no, I want you to go buy something that you like. So I started thinking of all the things I could buy with this $11. I said, okay, I could go get a slice of pizza. I could pay for eight, maybe seven nails of a manicure. You know, I was like, and then I was thinking, do you return the tooth fairy money?
Yeah.
Or do you keep it? What would you do?
I mean, of course, your first instinct is you have to return it. But, I mean, she was very adamant about the fact that she wants you to get something for yourself. So maybe you have to take her with you to kind of witness you using it to get something for yourself. Maybe you could get something together, ice cream together or something like that.
Right. We could only pay for one of our ice creams,
right. That's true. But I think it is a good lesson. Gosh, I don't know.
I'm so curious. Would you keep the money? Would you just be like, nope, this is going right back in your piggy bank?
I mean, maybe sneak it back in there when they're not looking, think that you kept it.
I think you know what I'm going to do, but I'm curious. What would you do? Text 1-800-330-9999. Would you give it back? Diddy's defense team wanted Cassie's husband out of the courtroom. All I could think about was, I was in her position, would I want my family there to support me? I know it's to support, but I don't know if I could talk about the things that she had to talk about yesterday and have my husband right across the room at me.
I mean, I'm just going to say that the most mind-blowing thing about this entire case to me, once you get past the facts, is the fact that it was announced that she was going to testify and that she came right in and she's one of the first witnesses out there and that she is bringing so much to it. Incredibly brave, really.
Yeah, so...
But think about the dynamic, like you said, of the courtroom, right? Like, he's there, his defense attorneys are there, his whole family is showing out, like, every day, and they're, like, joking and having a good time there in the courthouse, and then she's covering this stuff, and her family is one row away.
It's so weird. When you think about the dynamics, now, you know, this, if you haven't been following the Diddy case, it is disgusting. It really is.
And it's atrocious.
And when you hear her document what exactly a freak off is, I was like, oh, like it's disgusting. There's no other way to go about it.
It's, they're really setting it up that they're going to show this video, right? So it's a federal case, and typically cameras and, you know, those things are not allowed in there. So you really have to read the case. Like you said, you have to read the facts here. But, I mean, they're graphic, and they're coming out minute by minute.
Did you see the sketch artist? Like, all the sketches
of
P. Diddy? He looks like a monster. Well, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose
or
not.
Old and ancient. Well, I'm sure he's showing up to make himself look a little bit older.
Well, that's
what
they said.
The gray, not dying anything, to make it look like, oh, you know, he's harmless.
Just
an older guy who's a pervert. But, you know, other than that, relatively, you know, let's not send him to prison forever. Let's get him time served and send him out. I mean, that's a defense move.
There's a whole thing about how, because he 2 days in a row, he showed up in the exact same clothes and that he hasn't dyed his hair or dyed his beard. And that's exactly why.
I'm disheveled. I'm a loss.
I don't know what I'm doing. Look at me.
I'm defeated. Yeah. How could I be this dangerous?
Biggest rap mogul in the universe. Like, what are you talking about?
Powerful man.
You think wearing the same sweater vest 2 days in a row is going to hide that? He's like, no, I'm wearing a sweater vest. Look at me.
Remember Casey Anthony used to show up to court looking like she was coming from church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, everybody's looking at that. But today, Cassie's going to be back on the stand for the second day. And there was a lot of controversy yesterday because the defense team did not want the husband there.
Yeah.
And they eventually lost out that he could be there. I think there's a portion of her testimony that he has
one
to leave. There's one
leave.
Part.
Yeah, because they say that they might call him back as a witness.
Right.
So when there was an assault.
Because he threatened to beat up P. Diddy in text messages, too. Which, I mean, honestly, if you found out that somebody did that to your wife, how would you react?
You know, you can settle this entire case by just giving them an hour or two alone.
That's not a thing that we do
in America.
No, we just let him go to jail for the rest of his life, maybe, possibly. We don't know. We don't know how this is all going to play out. But I was thinking about it. I don't want my husband there if I have to give that testimony. I don't want... I just feel like it's so embarrassing and hard enough to talk about it. I think that... I'll fill you in afterwards when I get home, you know?
Yeah.
And she's 8 months pregnant. That takes a lot
of
courage.
Is that how pregnant she is?
Yes.
That's terrible. Can you imagine?
Did you not see the sketch artist?
I mean, I said...
She's very pregnant.
But I didn't want to assume how far along.
Oh, day two today. If it's anything like today, we'll get minute-by-minute play of what's going on at every news site, and we'll see what else comes out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where were you when you knew that you were front and center to a historical event that people would talk about for the rest of your life? The Vatican elected a new pope last week. First American pope ever, Pope Leo XIV from Chicago. And it was a huge day. Huge. Everyone in the area, tens of thousands of people crowded St. Patrick's Square to watch the new pope emerge. To watch the new pope emerge for the first time, including Harry Styles. And he had on sunglasses, his signature mustache, and he had a baseball cap that said "Techno is my boyfriend" on.
I'm guessing that he was, you know, probably on vacation, right?
He's got a place. He's seen a lot in Rome, and the rumors are that he's got a house in Italy, in that area.
All right.
And of course, I was thinking about it. If you just heard that the white smoke had been released, and you were within walking distance, how do you not go to St. Peter's Square?
There's no bigger party going on at that time right now.
Right.
If techno is your boyfriend, the techno rave has been moved over to the Vatican for
Absolutely.
That afternoon.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. Like, sometimes you just live history and you know you're in the right moment at the right time or in the wrong moment at the right time.
Such was the case for me when I was accidentally arrested and subsequently held for nearly 3 weeks in L.A. County. And at the same time when I was in L.A. County... O.J. Simpson and Tommy Lee were both in L.A. County. This is a real true story. It's a true story thing that happened to me.
Wait.
I mean, I didn't see O.J. and I didn't see Tommy Lee, but before I was arrested, I had been watching and following their cases basically daily on television and knew that's where they were, and everybody in the building was talking about it.
Of course. Well, then you ended up in jail with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't see them. I was on the med floor because I had to take pills at the time, so.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yes, there is.
But
yes, there is. And then I was released.
But what a crazy time to think that you were in jail at the same time that OJ was in jail.
Same time.
So weird.
Same time.
Mistaken identity.
Wait till this show gets bigger and the movie comes out, all right? Because it's going to be riveting, I tell you.
One day when we have more time, we're going to talk about this. But when you get released and they figure out they put the wrong person in jail for
that's
3 weeks.
That's not exactly how that happened.
What, did they just say we're sorry?
No, that's not exactly what happened. Kind of somebody got, somebody got a payment and somebody pressed a button in the middle of the night. And I just got released. I never actually even saw a judge. Was arraigned.
Really?
Yeah, the case was never deposed, let's put it that way.
My moment in history is a lot different than that.
Yeah, it doesn't involve a jail cell.
No.
Thankfully for you.
Yeah, of
your experience.
Not.
But what was it?
It was, I was in college and it was Woodstock 90, what was it, 99?
99.
Yeah, Woodstock.
Oh, I was there too.
Yeah, except we were in very different areas.
We were.
Raven was working the event for a radio station, that's so right. He was in all the plush. I was a concert goer at Woodstock 99, and I was there when the fires happened. If you remember the fires of Woodstock 99, I remember them just getting bigger and bigger next to me. And I remember thinking, I have to call my parents and tell them I'm okay. Now, keep in mind, this is before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody had a cell phone.
Right.
So I had to go wait in line at a payphone with these massive fires within distance. I could see them to tell them I was okay. But here's the thing. My parents had no idea what the heck I was talking about.
Right, right. Just come home.
I was like, wait a minute, this isn't all over the news yet? And they had no clue. And then it wasn't until a day, because remember, it took a day or two for people to realize that we basically set the whole place on fire, not me, in general.
Yeah. I was watching from the bleachers when Tent City went up. That was crazy, right?
And it
just
was scary.
Just 5 years removed from hanging out with Tommy Lee and O.J. Simpson.
1-800-330-9999. When were you front and center to a historical event? And did you know at that moment that people were going to talk about that moment for the rest of your life? Everybody's been talking about how Harry Styles was in St. Peter's Square during the Pope election when the Pope emerged, first American Pope, Pope Leo XIV.
Mm.
And of course, if you're in the area, how do you not go witness history like that?
Yeah, his apartment's eight blocks away.
Right.
Why wouldn't he walk down there and check that out?
That's exactly what he did. And I think that we've all had that moment, or if you haven't had it yet, you might, where you somehow become part of history. You're in the right place at the right time, or maybe the wrong place at the wrong time. Where were you? Marlene.
I had just gotten home from work. The TV was already on, and I saw the plane that was about to hit the tower.
Mm.
And I'm saying to the pilot, you are too low, fly up, up. And it hit. I dropped my coffee cup, and I ran to my kids' school to get my kids out of school. And they were asking me, why? Why are you taking the kids out? And I said, somebody needs to turn off TV because we are under attack.
Yeah.
And by the time I looked around, there were a lot of parents behind me coming to get their kids out of school.
Yeah.
So I can say I remember when those towers were hit.
9/11 was terrifying.
9/11 was terrifying.
It did definitely feel like we were under attack. And of course, we found out after that we were. But
right.
We had never, seen anything like that here in America, right? Like, I mean, war, as sad as it sounds, was something that we had watched on television from our generation.
Yeah, right? Thanks, Marlene. I remember just walking outside and looking up in the sky and wondering, because we were so close and wondering, should we be doing something right now? Should we be hiding? And I was in Westchester at the time. It was scary.
Yeah, I was in Boston, right? And flights had left from there, and it was just, it was terrifying. There was a lot of questions, a lot of people on the phone, and of course, we all had questions.
Yeah, a lot of my classmates lost parents that day. It was a terrible day.
Peter, you were witness to history. What happened? Where were you?
I joined the military in 87. I was transferred and sent over PCS to Berlin, Germany in 1989 in July. A few months later, the wall came down. And had the opportunity to be there while the wall was coming down and the first few people coming over legally without papers through Potsdamer Platz.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to be there at that moment, like, that's wild.
Did you know at that moment you were witnessing something that people would talk about for the rest of your life?
Absolutely not. I was 19 years old, and I didn't even know who I was at the point.
Right. No,
but I will tell you that it was an exciting time when it actually did sink in. It was amazing. It was an amazing time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that night, there's a great party.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there are people everywhere just celebrating, celebrating life. That's amazing. Well,
there was what was really amazing is that they pulled out the European flag at the time, the white one, I mean the blue one with the yellow stars, and this kid climbed up a telephone pole at Brandenburg Gate and hung that flag. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to enjoy everything because I was on duty, and at that point we didn't know what the hell was going on, but yeah, it was a heck of a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine that there's people making out all over the place.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate the call. Paige, when were you a part of history?
I was in Atlanta when the George Floyd protests were happening, and I was downtown when it got looted, and the police were throwing tear gas at all of us. It was an absolutely surreal experience.
How did you feel?
So difficult to describe, honestly. It was scary. Obviously, I had never been in any sort of environment like that, which is part of why I stayed, even though, you know, I saw people breaking into shops and obviously the tear gas being thrown at us, but like people setting things on fire, things I had just never seen before. And so it is scary, but also like in an almost like morbid way, thrilling. There's like an adrenaline rush that comes with that, too.
Well, you know, you're in the middle of something that's not normal. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, you're in the middle of history at that moment, or you know that you're in the middle of something that feels pivotal.
Okay. Fascinating. Yeah. That's being a part of history right there.
Yeah.
Your $1 million dog. 1-800-330-9999. How much was the biggest bill that you got when you went to the vet? What was it for?
I've got two. So, I mean, Barkley's knees were both $7,500.
Each of them?
Each of them. Each of them were $7,500, and I had no pet insurance.
Are they made of platinum?
They are made of titanium.
Can he run now like a robot?
He can. He definitely can, and it was a scary process when we did it. It's a TPLO is what it's called, this surgery, and it's usually reserved for bigger dogs. When the surgeons did his first surgery, they said it was the smallest piece of titanium implants they had ever seen before. They were all like, you know, showing them off to each other there. They were going, it's so cute. And then we were back there doing the other one just months later.
All right. I'm going to say something that, Raven, you have certainly never heard me say before in my life. You might want to hit record over there.
We're always recording somewhere.
Raven, you were right and I was wrong. You are supposed to brush your dog's teeth. And what, the first time Raven ever said to me that he brushes his dog's teeth every day, every day,
every other day.
I told him that that was something that crazy people did and that nobody really brushed their dog's teeth. And sure enough, I have a rescue, Lila, and she's a very timid. She's a fearful dog. Mm-hmm. She comes from a terrible background, but we got her when she was about 4 months old, and it has never really had any medical issues ever. We've been very, very fortunate where every time we go to the vet, it's the usual vaccines and shots and that's it. That there's nothing else.
There was that one time that you fed her the Korean short ribs.
That was an emergency room visit. I didn't know they couldn't have Korean short ribs. I learned the lesson the hard way.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway. So we bring Lila to the vet for her routine checkup, and the doctor says that she has a lot of plaque on her teeth and she has gingivitis, mm-hmm. and that she needs to have her teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
Now, I also did not know that you're supposed to have your dog's teeth cleaned.
I don't know.
Nobody told me.
Probably once a year, every couple of years, as necessary.
Exactly. I had never done it. So they give me a quote and they say it's going to be between $900 and $1,500. And I thought, that's a lot of money. Holy bananas, that's a lot of money.
Of course. Dog has to be sedated, right?
Yes.
They have to be, you know.
She has to be put under it. All the scary stuff that you worry about. But she really needs it. Okay, fine. So I schedule the appointment. And my husband brings her in, fills out all the paperwork, does the stuff. And they say if sometimes the teeth have to be extracted, and if there's any teeth that have to be extracted, do you want to be called? And of course, my husband, knowing me very well, says, call my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She'll figure it out and tell you what to do and whatever.
Yeah.
So I get a phone call as Raven and I are in a meeting, and it's the veterinarian.
And again, you were told there was a scale.
900 to 1500 at max if they had to remove a teeth. They have to remove 8 teeth. And it's $2,700.
It's a big one.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
You weren't ready for that.
The crazy part about
it. At 11 o'clock while you were at work?
No. Right. I was like, what? I was like, you know, like, what are you going to say? Of course, you're like, do you take Visa? You know, like, that's it. That's all you do.
I mean, they're under in the other room right now. I mean, I can't believe that they even called you. Mine, you have to like decide beforehand.
Oh gosh.
You're like, keep them or don't keep them. Baxter lost like 11 teeth in one time.
Well, they said,
but he's a tiny dog. He's got bad mouth.
That's what they said. They said that they were actually surprised for a dog this size that she would have to have so many teeth. It's a lot. And then I felt like a terrible dog mom that I didn't brush her teeth. I had never done it before.
A lot of people don't do that.
You know what they said? They actually questioned how old she was. I was like, I got her when she was a puppy. I know how old she was. She was 4 months. Like, I'm certain of it. That's the one thing I know.
She was smaller.
Yes. She was really small, and then she got big.
Right.
I don't know. Am I alone? What was the most you ever paid for a dog veterinarian trip? What was it, and what did they have done? 1-800-330-9999. $2,700. That's how much the vet bill was this week from when I brought my dog in just to get her teeth cleaned. It was supposed to be between 900 and 1500. Turns out they had to extract 8 teeth. When I got that phone call, I was like, ah!
Yeah.
Okay, do you take Visa?
I've been hit with some big bills before, and usually I kind of know before they happen what's coming there. I will say this, Baxter lost like 9 or 11 teeth in one procedure one time, but most of them just fell out, so they didn't really charge us.
Because you have small dogs. Lila's big.
Them.
Lila's 60 pounds.
Yeah,
she's a
different.
Big dog, yeah. Vet bills, they come, and when they come, sometimes they're really big.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking for who had to spend a whole lot of money on their pet and what was it for. And I want to mention we did get a call from Jessica, $11,000. 4 days old, she got the puppy at a pet store.
Yeah. Adopt, don't shop. Tragic story here. You know, a lot of times you just don't know what you're getting, but I get it. You look in their face and you want to save them.
Of course. Stephanie, what was the total of your vet bill?
$3,150.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money.
What do they have done?
They had to test her because she wasn't eating and she was getting ear infections a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do the ear swab, they had to do blood testings, and they had to give her allergy medicines. I told them, I think she has seasonal allergies. And they're like, okay, let's do some testing. They didn't tell me how much each test was going to be. And then at the end, they were like, okay, it's going to be $3,150.
Yeah.
And I was like, credit card.
Did you get resolution after? Because this is so ironic. This is actually what I'm dealing with Baxter right now. He has high anxiety and he has seasonal allergies and he won't eat right. And now his hips are bothering him and all this stuff. And I don't know what to do. Like if we take him in there for tests, it's just random tests.
Mm.
So did you get any resolution?
Yeah. Kind of. They
kind
gave
of.
Her like a higher dose of medication because before they were telling me to give her Zyrtec half a tablet. But now they gave her like this prescribed medicine that costs like $100 a month, which isn't that bad.
Appreciate your call.
Thanks, Stephanie. Info. Appreciate it.
Mike, tell us, what was your highest veterinarian bill?
It was a cat bill, actually.
Okay.
One day our cat was not eating. It went about like 2 days not eating. We're trying to figure out what's wrong with the cat. We take the cat to the vet. They do an x-ray. They don't see anything. So like the bill is just racking up. They finally realize she's got a blockage in her stomach and they have to operate it out.
Oh my gosh.
And they discover that she had ate a tampon.
Oh gosh.
Well.
And they expand.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah, it was,
you are correct.
It was about a $7,000 bill at the end.
Oh.
Is the cat okay? Is the kitty okay?
Yeah, she is about 10 years old now, so she doesn't eat bad stuff like that anymore.
Good.
Well, we appreciate that. Cynthia, quickly tell us, what was your biggest vet bill ever?
I have a small 9-year-old Yorkie Chihuahua mix lilac. Get a call from the hubby that the dog is having a seizure. She suffers from epilepsy, and he thinks that this is not a normal seizure. Something doesn't look right. And I'm like, okay, go to the vet. She's choking. Choking on what? We don't know. Ma'am, your dog is choking. She's in distress. She definitely has something. We're just going to do some x-rays. Estimate $3,000 to $5,000. What you going to do at that point?
Nothing.
Your fur baby.
Right.
Sign the papers. Do what you got to do.
Of course.
But $3,500 for the dog who was choking, on a piece of chicken jerky.
Chicken jerky.
That chicken jerky.
Can't trust that chicken jerky.
No, you got to cut it up smaller.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, the dog
no,
was okay
chicken
after?
Jerky, the poor baby.
Is he all right?
He is absolutely fine. Oh, he is the cutest thing that I ever did.
And now he can never have chicken jerky again.
No more chicken jerky for him,
no.
though.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by NHTSA. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt may get a ticket. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt during a crash may not make it home. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, joining us, it's Dan and Tina. It is prom week all this week on Couples Court. Tina, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, my daughter and I have been searching for the perfect prom dress. And for the entire season that we've started, way back in like November, we've been looking for the perfect prom dress. And everyone is just absolutely ugly. She either hates it for this reason or that. So we're getting down to, you know, crunch time. Prom is 2 weeks away. We just recently found the perfect dress that I love. It looks great on her. She loves it. Looks great on her. It's not too revealing. It's perfect. The only problem is we decided on the budget of being $200, and this one is $475. So our dilemma here is that I want to go ahead and get the dress. It's perfect. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for her. You know, she's a good kid. She does everything we ask her to do. And I just feel like, you know, that extra $275 is worth it.
But I'm guessing you don't agree, Dan, or else you guys wouldn't be here. So what's going on?
Yeah, I think absolutely not. $475, there's no dress that she's going to wear once that's worth that kind of money. I think the budget was generous at $200. And I think it's fair to just keep it at that.
But if... Okay. Oh.
I mean, you're searching and you got 2 weeks to go, right? So if you don't get this dress, then what is the alternative? Where are you going to be at, Tina, if you guys don't allow your daughter to get this dress?
You settle.
Yeah, we would have to settle. Definitely wouldn't be the ideal choice just because we could have settled before if that's really what we wanted.
Yeah.
With the other dresses, they just really weren't what she was going for.
This seems like an exact disagreement that my husband and I would have. Because I would think, no, we found the dress. Unfortunately, it cost double what we wanted to pay.
Right.
And
oops,
more.
There's a bad part of this story.
But
good news,
know,
bad news thing, though, right?
Yeah. And the thing you said, Tina, is like she's a good girl. Like she works hard. She does all the right things. So it's like if it means a lot to her, sometimes you just got to suck it up. But Dan, I mean, my husband would be right there with you.
Well, I'm, you know what? I mean, I'm guessing, number one, you're correct. It's not like you get a prom dress and it's styled for anything else that you're ever going to wear. I mean, even a bridesmaid dress really usually only comes out once. And if it comes out for something else, then it's rare. So I get it. You know, it's nearly $500, and I'm sure it's more than that when all is said and done. You know, tailoring and tax and all that stuff when it's over. On the other hand, I kind of look at these big moments as, you know, they're like milestone moments, right? Like, I don't know anybody who's preserved their prom dress, but I'm guessing some people still have it somewhere. You know, it's like a wedding dress that you keep, right? You remember those dates. They're big dates.
I don't know. What do you think? There was a budget, $200, but the dream dress is $475. Do you buy it for your daughter anyway? It's prom week on the Couples Court. And what do you do when you set a budget for how much the prom dress should cost and then the perfect dress costs more than double it? That's what's going on with Dan and Tina. The budget was supposed to be $200 for this dress. And when Tina and her daughter finally found the dream one, it was $475.
Yeah, and here they are. And Dan says, listen, this is absolutely ridiculous, right? This is way too much to pay for this dress. But Tina stresses the fact that, first off, she's a good girl. Prom is coming up in like 2 weeks at this point right now. We have to make this decision. We can't go through all this again. And any other choice would be her settling.
What do you think? Erin, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. I think they should buy the dress. And I think after prom, they can sell it, either like Facebook Marketplace or something like that after the fact, for the $275. The daughter gets the dress she wants, they only really end up spending $200 and someone gets to wear another beautiful dress for almost half the price that it really costs.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. It's prom week on the Couples Court, powered by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24 pack. Check it out today at 5hourenergy.com.
Dan and Tina find themselves in a tough position. They set a budget for their daughter's dress for her prom, and now the dress that they found is completely out of that budget. They wanted to spend $200. It's $475, Anna.
But Tina says she loves it. We're getting close. We have 2 weeks left. We can't find anything else. Like, just buy it. She's a good girl. Dan disagrees. He says there's a budget for a reason. Joanne.
I'm definitely on the wife's side. I had a daughter that went to prom, and you can't find a dress that cheap.
Yeah.
Today's day and age, it's a lot of money, and you know what? She's a good girl. She probably never wants for anything. Let her have it. Make her happy, and go on.
You know, it's a special day. It's a special moment. It's emotional, right? Too. So, you know, you think about that buildup. I mean, you got a couple weeks to go. Who wants to deal with that tension?
Just think about how good you feel when you have on an outfit that you really love.
Yes.
You want her to have that feeling.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks,
right.
Joanne.
Mike, what do you say? Whose side are you on today?
I'm actually on the mom's side with this one. There's certain times in life where the budget has to go out the window. I think high school prom, wedding, those dresses, those are things that a woman will remember forever.
Yeah.
And you got to flex the budget on them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Fair enough. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
I remember looking beautiful and feeling beautiful in my prom dress. Absolutely.
And what a great feeling to feel that way, right? And if you don't feel that way, where does that leave you? Chrissy, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am on the mom and the daughter's side. Prom comes around once, but I do think maybe after the prom, she can sell the dress and maybe recoup some of that money back.
You know, there is more of that happening nowadays,
Absolutely.
Too, right? The consignment of the prom dresses or even the donation or whatever. Like, let that dress have another life. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good idea.
Thanks,
good idea.
Chrissy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tina, our audience agreed with you. It's a lot of money, but if it's not going to financially devastate you, which I certainly hope it would not, the audience said sometimes you just have to make concessions for these big moments in your kids' lives.
Yeah, and I'm glad everyone agreed because, I mean, she deserves it after all, you know. I like to splurge for her just this one time. You know, we don't do a whole lot of out of the way doing, you know, for her. So this one time shouldn't be, like, just terribly, you know. It's not going to break our bank.
You know what, Dan? I would just look at it like this. Like, listen, it's expensive. It blew the budget out of the water. On the other hand, you know, your daughter's comfortable in it. She feels good in it. You know, it's what she envisioned. And that is worth a lot, right? Because so often we end up having to compromise ourselves in one way or another. And for a young lady, like, I think it's more so than you and I would probably ever understand.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't looking at it that way.
Do a good job, Dad. Pay for that dress. And that's it. And be like, you look lovely. And then that's it.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$3,500 is the cash jackpot today for Can't Beat Raven. Thanks to NHTSA. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt may get a ticket. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt during a crash may not make it home. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA. Karen, you ready to play today?
I am ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please exit the room.
You got it. Good luck. $3,500. Here we go.
All right. He's going to walk out of here. That big old door is going to close. And he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions, Karen. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready to play?
I am ready.
All right, let's hope you got this. Number one, the Cannes Film Festival is underway and is packed with celebrities. And there's a new dress code that bans being nude or overly big outfits that don't fit in a seat. Cannes takes place in what country?
France.
Number two, a new study warns that people are most attracted to photos of psychopaths. What's the name of the motel in the 1960 movie Psycho?
The Bates Motel.
Number three, Cynthia Erivo is set to play Dracula in 22 supporting roles in a one-woman show in Australia. Dracula is a gothic novel from what author?
Oh, I don't know.
Number four, Major League Baseball has reinstated Pete Rose and shoeless Joe Jackson yesterday after deciding that bans end after death. So now they'll be eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. In what New York town will you find the National Baseball Hall of Fame?
Cooperstown.
And number five, Morgan Wallen finally revealed why he left the Saturday Night Live so quickly. He said, "I was ready to go home. I'd been there all week." What words did he post to his Instagram story that caused all the controversy?
Oh, shoot. I know this one.
That's time. All right, Raven, let's go.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Karen.
All right. Not great, not terrible. $3,500. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the Cannes Film Festival is underway and is packed with celebrities, and there's a new dress code that bans being nude or overly big outfits that don't fit in a seat, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
Cannes takes place in what country?
That's in France.
Correct. Number two, a new study warns that people are most attracted to photos of psychopaths. They say that psychopaths are the hottest.
Okay. I mean, Hillside Strangler, Ted Bundy.
We don't need to just name psychopaths. We're good.
Well, I mean, there's been some attractive ones.
What's the name of the motel in the 1960 movie Psycho?
Bates Motel.
Yes. Number three, Cynthia Erivo is set to play Dracula and 22 supporting roles in a one-woman show in Australia.
I believe her. If she says she can do it, she can do it.
Absolutely. If anybody can do it, it's her.
Sure.
Dracula is a gothic novel from what author?
Bram Stoker.
What's his name?
Bram Stoker. Bram Stoker.
Yes. Yep.
Keanu Reeves. Great film.
Number four, you said Stroker. Number four, Major League Baseball has reinstated Pete Rose and shoeless Joe Jackson yesterday after deciding that bans end after death.
Oh, great.
So now they're going to be eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm sure they're very happy.
Well, they're dead.
Right.
In what New York town will you find the National Baseball Hall of Fame?
It's in Cooperstown.
Yes. And number five, Morgan Wallen finally revealed why he left Saturday Night Live the stage so quickly after his show was done. He simply said, "I was ready to go home. I had been there all week."
I get it.
What words did he post to his Instagram story that caused all the controversy?
Get me to God's country.
Get me to God's country.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Karen, he beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
My name is Karen, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,600 tomorrow, Anna.
Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh, my God. Great location, too. Getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Are you or someone you know feeling overwhelmed by a mental health or addiction crisis? The Franklin County Crisis Care Center is now open 24/7 with care from certified peers and professionals. Learn more at franklincrisiscare.org.